Hello and welcome once again to the Everything BDSM podcast. I'm your host, Rope Tiger Daddy. Today's episode is entitled Kink is Not DS. So, I know a lot of people may hear that title and think, well, duh. I mean, it's not the same. I mean, DS can be considered kink, but not all kink is DS. So, there's a story behind that that I'm going to get into in today's episode, but I feel like this is a topic that really needs talked about a little bit more in the communities because I don't think everyone quite gets it. Not that I think I get it in any specific special way or anything like that, but a lot of people don't, they call things that they aren't, and that's fine. You know, I mean, everybody has a different definition for things. Words in the English language is very nuanced at times. So people will call things different things, not really understanding what they mean. That's never been a problem with me, except when people say something, but they can't back it up. And I mean, anyone who's ever been in a DS dynamic or a relationship knows that that, when it happens, tends to become a problem in that relationship because you came in expecting one thing, but you're not getting that. And it goes the same way with every other relationship, you know, maybe not so much with friendship, but with like mentorship. You know, if someone tells you, hey, I'm going to mentor you in this thing, and you start mentoring, you know, being their mentee, and you realize that they don't really understand what they're talking about, or they're not, they've defined it in a different way than you've defined it, then, you know, obviously there's, you know, a bit of a letdown. So we're going to talk about that today, and the basics of it is I was kind of introduced to kink and DS and BDSM in a, I guess you'd call it unusual manner. Maybe not unusual for everyone, but it feels unusual compared to what other people tell me. So like, you know, someone didn't tell me about FetLife, you know, and I was a single person and I got on FetLife and started looking around and learning. No, I mean, that was not it. I was in a marriage where I was, you know, prohibited. I wouldn't say prohibited because she didn't tell me what to do, but there was a power struggle. Okay. And she kind of wanted to do kink, but not really. So I was kind of forced to learn it on my own. She didn't want to learn anything about it. She just wanted me to do the things and be cool with it, except she wasn't really happy with all the things. So, there was a lot of stuff that I was not able to practice. For instance, DS, when we tried to do DS, it was a power struggle. So eventually I just kind of gave up on that, but I still had the passion for DS. I still had the passion for BDSM. So I still wanted to learn about it, even though the marriage could not include that. So when the marriage finally broke, and it wasn't just about kink or DS or any of that, it was about many, many, many things, just a, you know, a complete not seeing of eye to eye. And that, you know, it's no one's fault. You get married young, things change. You don't always know what those changes are going to be with the partner you're with or how you're going to change, which is why I kind of jokingly tell people don't freaking get married until you're at least 30. You know, then you're at least somewhat stable. You understand what you want. When you get married and you're 21, you have no freaking idea. You might still be wanting, you know, someone who's like your mom, or if you're a woman, someone who's like your dad, or even if you're a man, someone who's like your dad, or a woman, someone who's like, you know, your mom. So, I mean, it just doesn't make sense, you know, when you're that young, things happen. So one of those things was DS, and, you know, dragging the story out long ways here. When we got divorced and I found a new partner, we were able to pursue DS and BDSM, the partner I'm with currently and have been with for almost 9 years now. We were able to pursue DS and BDSM the way we wanted to do it. But we started to realize very early on, you know, we were both on FetLife. That's how I met her, because I was able to get on FetLife when I was divorced and, you know, have a presence on there. And when I met her, we realized that FetLife sometimes for burgeoning DS and relationships, et cetera, is not always a healthy place, especially if you're not prepared to make it more healthy. So we'd learned quite a bit from FetLife, and we jumped off of FetLife for, I think it was 2 years, 3 years, and we were able to kind of formulate how we wanted to do DS and how, you know, we were able to read things as a observer, not be a participant. We were able to learn things. We were able to try things. So when we came back to FetLife, we realized that, you know, we had probably went maybe, or at least I had led the dynamic into a more old guard or old school mentality, but we didn't have the bad habits, what I call the bad habits of the old guard. And also the new stuff that was coming out, the new stuff that was happening with the influx of, you know, Tumblr shutting down and the influx of, you know, 50 Shades, which, you know, gets a real shit rap in our community. I mean, for some pretty obvious and good reasons, but you have these people coming in. And so for me and for my partners, we felt like BDSM had been, you know, when we left FetLife and we came back, we felt like BDSM and DS had been something that was taken seriously, something that had freaking meaning. And when we came back to FetLife, it was the start of it. It wasn't the culmination of it, but it was the start of all that stuff losing meaning. So when we came back, we decided to start Munches Up in our local community. And, you know, I don't have any ill will towards anybody in our local community, but when we started up, we noticed when you go to Munches, there's not a lot of DS. There's a lot of sadism. There's a lot of masochism. There's a lot of bedroom only dynamics. There's a lot of different varied things, but DS doesn't seem to be one of them. And, you know, again, no judgment, but tell me if you've met one of these guys in a munch or one of these girls in a munch. I'm a dom. Well, what do you do? What's dominant about your activities? Well, I hit her. Well, cool. That's good. Like, what else do you do? There's other things? Like, you know, that like they don't have any kind of clue. And, you know, my partner and I would observe this, like, you know, a guy would come in, he's strutting, I'm a dom. And, like the person he was with would be like, hey, and they'd hand the plate to him or to her or whatever. And they would immediately get up and like, you know, like it's one thing if you want to serve your partner. Like, I mean, for instance, like both my partners were here with me all weekend. Like I cooked some, like I would bring them a plate every once in a while. But when the dynamic is very one-sided and it's where the sub has control and the dom has no control, you start to kind of question that, you know, and you can't really question it too hard because you get slapped with the, well, you're just trying to you do the one true way shit. You're just trying to do this. It has to have some meaning behind it. So when you say I'm a dominant, what do you do that's dominant? You know, these guys, these girls, they, well, like I'm in charge of a group at work. You know, that, okay, that's great. That's a good start. But what do you do to lead your dynamic in your relationship? Do you make decisions? Does the other person serve you? Like, what's going on that makes it dominant? And, you know, you'd find people that were honest about it. Like, I just like to spank asses. You know, I just like to whip girls. Like, I just like to, you know, put men in a subservient position for an hour or two a day, and then I'm done. And, you know, that's fine. No judgment on what anyone wants to do. But when you start calling it something because you feel like that title, you deserve that title more than that title deserves you, like, I don't know. It just puts an ick feeling on me. And that, you know, that's my problem. That's not their problem, but there needs some definition behind it. So sorry for the interruption. That's what happens when you are in a DS dynamic. So this is a perfect example. You know, your slave has to call you on FaceTime to figure out, you know, for you to make decisions. So regardless, like that was the interruption, but it was just a funny example. so anyway, what were we saying? So DS for me has a specific meaning. Dominance, submissive. There's one person leading. There's one person following. There's one person who's exchanged power. There's one person who has received the power. One person who gives it. what makes your dynamic DS? And again, it's okay. Like I wrote a writing, you know, it's okay if you don't want to do these things. You don't have to call yourself a sadist if you don't want to do sadism. You don't have to call yourself a masochist if you don't want to do masochism. You don't have to call yourself a dominant, but there's this societal expectation now almost in the communities that, you know, DS is becoming more mainstream. So people feel like they, like if I'm a male presenting person, like I can't be submissive. Like I can't, you know, I can't just be a top or I can't just be a sadist. I have to have this dominant title. Even if I don't do the dominant shit, I still need to have that. So, you know, I mean, I had that a little bit of that expectation when I was, I mean, maybe not expectation, but I tended to conflate the two, and that this is the worst problem, I think, on FetLife right now. You've got a bunch of sadists who believe they're dominant. And why is that a problem? I mean, why do I give a shit? Because there's a lot of people trying to teach people dominance when they're only sadists. And it's like, you know, a particle physicist lecturing a class when they're a freaking biologist. It's not the same freaking thing, man. So, like, I don't get why these people feel like they have to lecture people on how to be dominant when they're not dominant themselves. And why is that a problem? Why do I give a shit? Who cares? Because people eat this stuff up because they will tell you the easy path. Well, you know, you don't have to have expectations to be a dominant. Bullshit. Well, you don't have to lead someone to be a dominant. Bullshit. Like, there's just so many of these little freaking writings, and I want to reach through the screen and slap the people. Like, there's so many of these people in the community that do the same thing at munches and things. Like, well, you know, she can beat my ass and I can still be the dominant. That may very well be true, but you know, that's not the principle of it. You know, that's not the whole thing. What do you do that's dominant? So, like I said, I conflated the two a little bit. When I would talk about dominance very early on and I would have writings, I would talk about dominance in the vein of sadism. Because I do believe you can express your dominance through sadism at times. I don't always think your sadism is expressing your dominance. But if you're dominant and you're sadist too, obviously those two things play into each other. And you can be dominant while being a sadist. But there's a very significant difference in dominating and being a dominant. There's a very significant difference in submitting and being a submissive. Submitting happens in time spurts. There's little time nuggets that you're submitting or dominating. But when you're dominant or submissive, for me personally, and you know, people are gonna say this is not the case. For me personally, you can't turn those things off. You're either submissive all the time, or at least when you agreed to be submissive, or dominant when you agreed to be dominant, or all the time. Like, people think, well, you know, you can't be dominant all the time. You can't be submissive all the time. You know, I've been doing this shit for eight years, going on nine now. You freaking can. You know, is there protocols that we have? Is there rules we have where we're around vanillas? We don't show them that side? Absolutely. You know, she's not going to kneel to me when she's in front of her work group. You know, I'm not going to, you know, bark orders and start, you know, spanking her when I'm in front of vanillas. That's nonsense. But there's things that maintain that. If you can't find a way to maintain that and you feel like it needs to come off, I mean, there's ways to maintain that, I guess is what I'm saying. It doesn't have to come off all the time. It doesn't have to, you know, be blatant all the time. You don't have to walk around with your submissive on a leash or, you know, bowing to your dominant every 5 minutes. But those things, that's what people tend to look at. That's what people tend to say, well, you're not dominant if you're doing all that. I'm dominant because I lead. I'm dominant because I make decisions. I'm dominant because I handle things. I'm not dominant because she kneels to me. That's a demonstration. That's not the meat of it. It's the icing on the cake. It's not the cake itself. So I used to, like I said, I used to conflate the two, and I used to say, well, you know, I used to write about, like, well, you know, when you're being a dominant, you know, you're hitting her, that's fine. You can do that, but that's not all of it. So, like, I tell people, like, hitting someone's is not being a dominant. It you may be a dominant and also enjoy sadism, but that's not all of it. There's many more things behind it. You can do physical acts like rope and sadism and things like that and find ways to express your dominance through that. Or if you're submissive, do those things with your dominant and find a way to show that submissively. Like, for instance, like if I'm tying my submissive or my baby girl or my slave, like they know my hand signals. They know things like that. They know that I'm going to put that rope on in a dominant way. But that's an act. And I don't mean like an act like is like I'm acting. I mean, that's a physical thing I'm doing. Dominance is very much mental. It's very much more in your head. And so is submission than the things we do, which is why I get upset when people try to teach these as in like, well, you know, I'm a dominant because I have a dungeon and I bring girls to the dungeon or guys to the dungeon or whatever, and I hit them and I'm a sadist. And that's just not dominance. I mean, you can be dominant and do that, but when that's your demonstration of dominance, you failed. That's a dominant thing. It's not being a dominant. So I know I've talked fast and rambled on. This episode doesn't need to be any longer than this. I mean, I can keep saying the same thing, but it, you know, if it's not going to get through to some people are just going to say, you know, nope, I'm a dominant and I'm going to teach dominance and I don't really do dominance, but that's okay. I can't stop those people. Everyone has free will and I can't stop people from listening to them, but I can damn sure give people the right information and give people a little something else to think about. No one has to do things my way. That's just dumb to sit there and think that. And I'm sure of all the topics I've talked about so far, this might be more controversial than others. I haven't talked about CNC yet, so I mean, that's coming. But from this side, from what I'm talking about here, there's not much to say on it. You think that people would get this, but they're just not sometimes, and that's okay. I just want people to be aware that when people say things like this, when people do things like this, and when you're reading something, put it in your head in context. Or when you're hearing someone talking a bunch, put it in your head in context. What about this person is dominant? Are they just trying to project the fact that they're dominant? Or do they actually demonstrate that they're dominant? Not through acts necessarily, but through the way they hold themselves, the way they compose themselves. I said I was going to end this episode, but one quick other thing I want to talk about real quick is these people who call themselves dominants, but don't have any kind of self-control or any kind of self-mastery. They go through life and they hope they can fool someone into submitting to them, but they don't. If you can't, we talked about this in the tenets of DS. If you don't have any mastery over yourself, and you're getting someone else is giving you their power, you probably don't know what to do with it. You might luck out and know what to do with it, but you probably don't know how to handle that. If your power doesn't emanate from yourself, then in any way at all, I mean, granted, like I know a lot of dominants that work at a job where they aren't in control, you know, but when you leave that job or, you know, when you're not in control, like people be like, well, I work for someone else. I'm not in control. Do you do that work for someone else to the best of your ability? Do you take pride in it? Are you the best you can be doing that work? Like, you know, there's ways to be dominant when you're not the leader. There's ways to be dominant when you're not necessarily in charge or when your life's not necessarily in charge. You know, people, we have control over things. We have control over our, you know, how we think, what we do, you know, our physical shape, our mental shape, our, you know, ability to control our emotions, you know, even if you have to go through therapy, there's nothing not dominant about going to therapy. You're trying to take control of your shit. And, you know, that's what I preach more than anything. But it's hard. People don't always like what I write about or what I talk about because this shit's hard. It's not meant to be easy. The easy stuff, leave that to someone else. Like we're not meant to have easy lives. We're meant to have hard lives. We're meant to, you know that these things are happening and have to overcome them. And that's not some woo-woo bullshit. That's just life itself. And you don't necessarily have to even be a dominant to know that or to be able to overcome these things. But you have to face things at some point. And that's, I guess, what this episode's been about more than anything, is facing what you actually are and what you actually do and what you actually have and what you're actually capable of. So I'm going to end the episode on that note. And until next time, this is Rope Tiger Daddy. Thanks for listening again.